Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin, and we're holding at the bottom of Tet Zayin Omud Beit. Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Miraktim Lifnei Akala. What exactly are we supposed to be saying when we dance in front of the Kala? Now, first of all, why do we dance in front of the Kala? So we had before the Inyan of dancing is one of the simonim sometimes about her being a betula. But the question is, when we say, what do we say in front of the kala? The truth is, as we're going to see in the sugya, the issue is really not the focus on the kala. The issue is the focus on the chatan, which is to encourage him that he's made a good choice. Because remember that we say that tav lemetav tan du, milemetav armalta. As far as a female is concerned, she's happy getting married. It's like, doesn't really matter so much to her, you know, what the guy is like, as long as she's married. But she'inkein, it's always, on the chassan side, it's always filled with self-doubt and second-guessing and rethinking, and that's the motzei. So there's a big inyan, l'sameach et hachatan, with the idea that the kala is a good kala. So therefore, what exactly do we say when we're saying these dances in front of the kala? Et shamay omrim, kala kamochi. Well, what do you mean? What do we say? I mean, what do you expect us to do? You want us to lie? You know, you say what the kala is. You know, what an amazingly ugly kala she is. Actually, it's a big machlokas exactly how we do this, according to Beit Shammai, kala kamochi hi. So according to Tosis, it means we focus on something or another that we can find about her that is an indication of something good. The problem is that when we really have to like scratch the bottom over here in order to find something that's good, so then it's not exactly very encouraging to the chassan to say it that way. So, okay, some actually say it means kala kamoshihi. In other words, you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this kala to be the match for this guy, and this is the kala as she's supposed to be, whatever it is that you got. Okay, others learn that, if you can find something, so then it's not scraping the bottom, so then that's what you should say. Beit Hillel Omrim, we always say, she's beautiful, she's so charming. So kala na'a, chasuda. So that the idea of chasuda, remember, as Rashi brings, is like we say by Esther, that Esther wasn't really very pretty, at least if she was green, she must look like a Martian. But nonetheless, chut shel chesed, mashu chalaya. So chut shel chesed means that she just looked very beautiful to everybody. So when we say chasuda, we're referring to that idea that it's possible, even though, you know, she doesn't look, if you reduce her to pure physicality, she may not be very attractive, but there's a concept called chut shel chesed, in which people are able to see her from a perspective in which she does seem attractive. Now, the question is, Amrula and Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel, Arei Shehaitach Igaret Asuma. Listen, Beit Hillel, it's all very nice, you know, to be supportive. I mean, if this girl, you know, is missing her feet, or maybe she's blind, you know, and you're telling the guy, oh, what a wonderful kala, kala nova, chasuda. I mean, you don't think that that's a violation of the mitzvah, midvar sheker tirchak. I mean, it's so obvious that she is not a kala nova, chasuda. How can you be koveya to say something like that? Amrulahem Beit Hillel, Lebeit Shammai, I don't understand what you're saying. This guy's already stuck with this kala, right? So now, I mean, if a guy comes back from the marketplace and he has no way of changing the purchase, they're not allowing exchanges, okay? So he comes back and he says, okay, so what do you think of this that I bought? Good deal, huh? So what are you supposed to say? You're an idiot. You could have gotten that for half the price on Amazon. Or are you supposed to say, no, very nice, very nice. So what do you think you're supposed to do? Yishabchenu beinav or yiganenu beinav? Have omer yishabchenu beinav. So, I mean, don't you think if the guy does not have any option. So then you're supposed to make him feel good, aren't you? Now, what is that? What do you mean, aren't you? How do we know that you're supposed to make him feel good? I mean, so the Ritva brings that it's a Dovra Pashit, that we're supposed to make him feel good because of the idea of there not being a Dvar Sheker Tirchak when it's Sholom. So Mishanim Mipnei HaShalom, we have that as a klal. And therefore, you're able to do it. Now, the truth is that in terms of this Ritva, if you take a look in Masechet Kala, so over there, the Braitza asks, Beitel Nami Leka Hochana. I mean, how can you say it's beautiful? Well, I mean, there might be something beautiful about it. Maybe she is Na'a. Dilma Na'a B'maaseha, you know? Maybe she does good things. Maybe she's Na'a Mibatei Avot. Maybe she's got nice parents or nice grandparents. And when you say chasuda, maybe it means in her soul she's a chasuda. I don't know. I mean, why should we be machzik berbishta lo machzikina? We're not going to assume that there's something wrong with her, are we? So Beit Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, miktiv misheker tirchak. It says midvar sheker tirchak. Midvar sheker tirchak means afilu stam. You don't make assumptions and say, well, yeah, I could say it because, you know, might be true. I mean, that's the whole point of midvar sheker tirchak, something that has in it elements of sheker, so you don't have a right to do that. So Beit Hillel says, and this is a much bigger and more telling response, that the context of midvar sheker tirchak is v'nakivit sadik al taharok. So midvar sheker tirchak is in terms of being destructive. But if you're doing something that makes the world more constructive, so then the Torah is not limiting you from Dvar Sheker Tirchak. Asks the Braita on Beit Hillel, Maishna de Mitve Mimekach v'litve midiraisa. Couldn't you bring a riot to this from the Torah? Because as everybody knows, Godol HaSholem Shafil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo. Remember that when he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu about what Sarah says, he misrepresented. So you see that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell you the truth when it has to do with Divrei Sholem. Now that is where the Ritva apparently is going. In other words, it's a Dovra Pashet. Shekol Shul Mipnei Darkei Sholem is Lashon Ritva. Ein Bo Mishum Midvar Sheker Tirchak. But in any event, this is a lot more mevusas in Beit Hillel than it appears to be on the surface. And we're going to see in a moment that there's another issue over here, which is extremely profound, about how to understand his Mekach Rab and Hashok or not. And that is that Mikan Amru Chachamim, Lo'olam tehi da'ato shel adam mu'urevet im abriot. Now, this is a very strange thing to say, that we're discussing the issue over here of midvar sheker tirchak, about emes and sheker and so on, and you're bringing me a raya from here that, well, you should be, you know, part of society. What does that have to do with it? What does it mean, mu'urevet im abriot, mixed with the way other people are? In other words, so like whatever they do, we do. I mean, what are you telling us from here we see? I mean, surely you're not just telling us the inyan of Shalom, that murevet min apriyas, that means Shalom. I mean, the inyan of Shalom is something that is much more profound, much more telling. And even in terms of Akum, we say mipnei darkei Shalom. What would we bring a riot from here to the inyan of murevet im apriyas from Beit Hillel? So the Maral says that the pshat over here is that essentially, when I am saying to someone who brought something from the marketplace, if he bought it, the reason that he bought it was, by definition, it was motze chein be'inav. He wanted to buy it. If this, therefore, is what he bought, so to speak, as a wife, so then that means she was motze chein be'inav. If that's the case, I can say that she is a kala na'av chasuda, because she is, in his eyes. But in order to say that, I need to be fully aware of a theory of mind from his point of view. That's what mu'revet im abriot means. I need to be able to see the world through the other person's eyes so that I can determine how to respond. And then it's truth. So then I'm saying, look, man, this is the girl that you really like. She's a Kalanova Chasuda to you. That's wonderful. You're so fortunate. So I'm not saying that out of theory, because I have to be able to actually support his choice and say Kalanova Chasuda. But seeing it from your point of view, I see this girl as being able to be attractive to you. Yes, I do see that. And therefore, I think you did the right thing. You got a good purchase. So that's the same thing as somebody who brings something back from the marketplace. Or let's say you're a Kohen and you have a glass of vodka. And you want to share it with everyone at the top, right? Now, there may be some people that don't like vodka. But Afal Pi Kein, in order to make the Kohen happy, what do you say? You say, L'chaim, L'chaim. You drink, and you pretend it's vodka.
I am. And then we can do a real mitzvah.
Ki yaseh Rav Dimi Omar. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, I'll tell you what they say in Eretz Yisrael. I know you guys have this big machlokas over here, but lo chal, v'lo srak, v'lo pirkus, v'yalaschein. What they say is, you know, she can get away without anything. She doesn't need makeup on her eyes. She doesn't need to blush her skin. She doesn't need to make fancy hairdos. She's just absolutely glowing with this chen. That's what they sang when the Rabbonon gave smicha to Rabbi Zeira. And they said, this guy, lo chav, lo srak, lo pirkus, v'yal aschein. Because this is also the getter of Torah, and the way that people were able to relate to the Torah of Rabbi Zeira. You don't need any shtick. You don't have to go around wearing big black hats and big rabbonish. Nothing. Whatever he is, Rabbi Zeira, very straightforward, simple person, and she's just glowing with chein. Ki somchu rabbonu rabami v'rabasi. And when they gave smicha to Rav Ami Ravasi, this is what people were singing. Kol min dein v'kol min dein smochu lanu. By the way, a lot of smichas actually include this lashon in the smicha. So this has become like a very favorite kind of language. People like this, those are the kind of people we expect you to give smicha to and call them rabbis, not the kind of people that some other people give us. Lotus Mechulano, please, no more of the Sarmisin and not the Smarmitim or some say Milchamisin, Velomin Turmisin. We don't want these guys who are the Sarmisin. What exactly are Sarmisin? Sarese Tamikra Vidar. They get everything backwards and then they try to persuade you that this is the right shot. And, oh man, please keep those guys out of here. And then not with the smartutim. The smartutim are rags. These guys are rags. They have, what do they wear? Sforas that are full of holes, you know? So all of their Torah is like wearing rags. We don't want people like that. And some say, lomen chamisim, you know? One lashon is chamisim, but one of the very sweet pshatim, which is very nogea, which is the Oroch's pshat, is lomi chamisim, not from people who only learn the first fifth of the Masechta, and then they pretend they learned the whole thing, and they don't know what they're talking about, which, of course, is indeed very common. So not from the fifters. We don't want people that only learn a fifth. Others learn that it means chamisin chamas, meaning that they keep my Torah that I'm supposed to be getting from them, they keep it away from him. Turmisim. What exactly are turmisim? Rashi says, I have no idea. I mean, a turmus is a lupine. What in the world does it mean not to give us rabbi lupines? I mean, I understand rabbi octopuses is one thing. What is a rabbi lupine exactly? So, okay. I mean, there's some say that a lupine is like very, very sharp and unpleasant to eat. We don't want these unpleasant people. Okay. Another song, Rabbi Abo. So when Rabbi Abo was very beautiful, as Rashi brings that he was Me'ain the Shufri of Me'ain the Shufri, which comes out to be Me'ain the Shufri in the end of Yaakov Avinu. So Omer Olav Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Abo, but when he came from the Beis HaMedrash, and he used to always be, was one of the person who was Matsui by the Beit HaKesar, And he was the one that he was like very, a very easygoing kind of character that was very attractive to the goyim, and Klal Yisrael used him to be a public relations person for them, and he would go up and be able to speak with the highest levels of government. And he was just one of these extremely effective people. So when he would come from the Beis HaMedrash to the Beis Kesar, Nafkan Amata the Beis Kesar LaPeu Mashin LeHalchis. So all of the women from the Beit HaKesar would go out and they would sing Rabba de Ame Matbar Nadu Mate, this teacher of the people, a leader of a whole nation, Butsina de Nahura, beautiful like a bright candle. Brich Matyach Lishlam, may your coming be in peace. Omra lover Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Loi. They say that Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Loi used to take a bad shel hadas and miraket lifnei akala. The Omer Kala no v'chasuda. So why did he take Davka, a bunch of myrtle? So some say, okay, I mean, the Parshas Hadas is a siman to this whole idea that we said before, Kala no v'chasuda, and we learned that from Esther Amalka, and she was called Hadas. Well, the pshat is that he took a Hadas because, remember, the siman of the Hadas is that it doesn't have any taste, right? But it has the other milas. It's the same thing over here. I'm wasting my time on this instead of learning, you know. So there's no real taste, but it's mitzvahs. So it's like hadasim. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, he would take three hadasim and he would juggle with them. Omar Rabbi Zirik, you know, you're embarrassing us. Gomachsif lan saba. I'm like, what? You know, the Tamir HaChomim, the Gderli Ador, this is the best they can do is juggle at weddings in front of girls. I mean, come on. But when he died, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Ifsik Amuda Denura Ben Didei L'Kulei Alma, a pillar of fire appeared and separated him from everyone else, the Shogak, as if he's on a completely different Madrega. And we have a Kabbalah, Gemiri De Lo Afsik Amuda Denura Ela Ilechad Bedar L'Trei Bedar, a pillar of fire only shows up once in a generation, twice in a generation. He was zeicher because of this behavior to be in a completely different madriga. Oh, Rabbi Zera. Wow. So Rabbi Zera was amazed. Instead of what he thought the whole time, Kamachsif lan Saba, you're embarrassing us. He said, well, Ahanya le shutite le Saba. Whew, I guess that hadas, shutita is hadas, I guess that hadas helped. Or some say, the idiotic way he was acting, apparently it wasn't so bad for him. It turned out to be pretty good. But Amri Le, she does say Lesaba. Others say his shita, that this is what you're supposed to do, ended up being right. And of course, there are others who suggest that the word shita, Tosfos bring shita, is a different word for hadas. Shita v'hadas. It's both types of the same species and subspecies, and that's what it means. Ravacha Markiv Lakatfe Umrakit. So Ravacha used to pick up the bride, put the bride on his shoulder, and dance around. Now, whoo-hoo, this was pretty hot stuff. So of course the Talmidim said, that looks like fun. Could we do that too? So Anan Ma'olam Eved Alchi, are we allowed to do that? So he says, absolutely. Idamyan Alaycha Kikishur L'chaye. If to you a girl is nothing but a piece of solid lumber beam, by all means. But if not, no, you cannot. Omer Shmuel bar Nachmini, Omer Rabbi Yonatan, you're even allowed to look carefully at the face of the Kala as if you're, wow, what a gorgeous girl. Because that way, Kidei L'Chavavah, Ba'ala, that way he'll think, wow, she must really be attractive if everybody's looking, you know. But we don't pass like that, don't you dare. Let Ilchata Kavate.
Maybe can I ask a question?
Are you sure you want to? The funny question that they ask, because it's obviously a mistake of understanding what Mutter Lestakel means. The funny question that they ask is if everybody's supposed to know that she's a psula because they did, you know, they did X or did Y or she went with, if you're not allowed to look at her, how is anybody going to know that she's a psula? Because that was the old simon. But It's so silly. The word listakel means to look carefully, like you're interested. And so it doesn't mean you can't look. It's supposed to put a mask over your face. Obviously, you just look normally, but it's saying you're not allowed to stare. Listakel means to look with great concentration. Yes, Rebinu, what did you want to...
The stories of when they say you're only allowed to do it if they look to you like a piece of wood, or the other stories where it says like chickens, then if that's what appears to them, then what's even the interest in them in the first place?
You mean why would they get married? Or why are they picking up the collar?
Yeah.
Well, you really think they're picking up the collar because they're interested in dancing with the collar? They're trying, again, they're trying to show what an incredible girl this is. So they want the chosen to feel that this is, it's like, you know, when, again, I mean, you know, you guys are Amaratsin, but all of the PK fans, remember, what did they do when he won in the ring? Picked him up and danced around with him. Exactly. That's to show this is a great guy. Okay. Weiter. So this, once again, we get to the issue that we discussed before, which is how exactly do we handle a wedding when we have a question of avelut. Here is a different question, which is not that it's the avelut of the chasen or kala, but on the way to the chuppah, there's the marriage entourage, and then there's the funeral entourage. So which one has the right of kedima? Well, actually, we will move the funeral to a side road in order for the wedding to proceed. And actually, we would move both of them off of the road if there is a melech Yisrael that's coming along the road. We'll push them both out of the way. Omru alav al Agrippas ha-melech sha'avar melifnei chala. They say that Agrippas, he bedavka took another road because he didn't want to cut off a kala. V'shibchu chachomim. The chachomim said that was very special of him. Shibchu. Why was it? That's not good. What, michlal d'shaparabad? You're saying that he did the right thing? Didn't Rav Ashi say that afila l'mandi yom ha-nasih shemachala kvodo kvodo machul? Even if you hold that the nasi, who was the Rosh Sanhedrin, he can be meichal al kvodai. But the melech shemachal al kvodai, he doesn't have a right to be meichal as kovet. The yom ha-mar som tasim alecha melech. You should very clearly make sure that teheim ato alecha. Make certain that you have a sense of tremendous kovet of a king, and therefore, if he's mavater on that, then he's doing the wrong thing. No, it wasn't nicker, you see. We know Lamaisa from the inside that he was planning originally on taking this road. Then it turned out that it was a kala. So he made it look like he was going somewhere else. So nobody caught the fact that he put the kala ahead of him. So it wasn't a pagam in the covet of the malchus. Tana rabbanan. Mivatlim tamu torah la hotzaat hamet ulachnasat kala. And you are mechuyev to leave the base of Medrash as necessary and walk with a funeral or walk in order to be mesameach when the kala is going towards the chuppah. So, but this is only kishe'eni mokot tzorcho. If there's not sufficient people, lichveidam, that's when you're mechuyev to go. But yeshi mokot tzorcho in mevatle. Ask the Gemara, well, how do we find that exactly? What is called tzorcho of the mate to be considered that I'm not mechuyev to go out to be malavim? Om Reb Shmuel Barini Mishmita Rav, Tresar Alfe Gavre, Beshita Alfe Shippure. So we need 12,000 participants, and we need an additional 6,000 people who are going to be going around blowing on shofarot and letting people know that there's a reason to come out and that there's a big funeral going on and so on. That's considered to be a minimal kovet. And some say, Tleser Alfe Gavri, 13,000 people, if that's the Girsa, which is a little bit strange because it doesn't say that in Megillah, but fine, they changed the Girsa. But from those 12,000 are Shita Alfe Shippuri. So it doesn't mean add another 6,000. Ula Omar, look, if you have a full line of people that are going from the gates of the city all the way to the Beis HaKfaris, that's sufficient. Rav Sheshes Vitema Rav Yochanan Amar, what do you mean? You're losing the Torah. So if Talmud Chacham dies, that means that the Torah is being taken away. So if the Torah is being taken away, you have to give it at least the same kavod as when it was given. Just like when it was given, you needed 600,000 people. After Tilat HaBashishim Ribu, you don't have enough of a kavod for Talmud Chacham unless you have 600,000 men there. Vahani Bililamandakari Vatani. This is only talking about someone who learned, meaning reading, which is Tanakh, and Tani, Mishnah, but he didn't necessarily teach to anybody else. Basha Enkein, if it's someone, the Matni, he taught other people, then let le shiure, there's not a shir at all. Doesn't matter how many people there are. What about somebody who bechlal has never learned at all? So then we say it's enough to have the people that do the actual kvura. We don't need more than that. There's a very interesting Ramah who brings the psak that nowadays, which is a pella, this comes from some of the Rishonim, the lashon is that today, all of Yisrael is molei mitzvahs kirimai. That nowadays, there's no such thing as people that didn't learn. Everybody has learned. I don't know what period exactly it's referring to, but it's nice to know. But, okay. So, what is this hinuma? Getting back to the Mishnah. Im yesh edim shiatztab hinuma. What is a hinuma? Surcha bar papa mishmei dezi'irei amar, tanura da'asa. It's hadasim that are interwoven in the shape of a tanur, which of course in their tanur was like this round thing, so it's like it goes over her head like a canopy. Rabbi Yochanan amar, kurita deminamna bakalta. It's this like thick veil that it's called a hinuma, because of the fact of she's mitnam nemet. She covers her eyes and falls asleep in there. So therefore, it's like the lotion of tenuma. She falls asleep in it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, afchilu kloyes. So now the question is, where they did these things? This was done, it's true, in Yehuda. So over there, it's all very nice, but these things aren't done in Bavel. So what exactly would show that she is a Besula in Bavel? The Bavel Mai, Omar Rav, Darduke, the Mishka Resh de Rabona. What the weird minhag that they had over there is that the women would catch all the yeshiva boys and pour oil on their hair and rub it in. It was like one wild minhag. Amr le Rav Papa Labaye, what the heck? What are you talking about over here? Mishka de Chafifusa Komamar? What? This is like, Chafifusa is really, it means that they have a sores on their head. It's called Chafifusa Chavez. But others learn that it just means Chafifa. What, these guys need shampoos? Their hair is in such bad shape? Like, what are you talking about? Come on, he says, Yasma, what the heck is wrong with you, an orphan? Lo avdalach imach dargugi mishcha reshet rabbonim b'shasmaisi. You're telling me that your mother didn't go around rubbing oil in the yeshiva bachrim's head when you were getting married? Everybody does that around here. Ki ha de'ahumi rabbonim de'asik le'devrei be'rabba bar'ula. There was someone who was trying to get his son set up with a girl that came from the family of Rabba Barula. And some say that it was Rabba Barula, Yasek Levrei, Be'omir Rabbana was the other way around. And while they did that, Darduge to Mishcha, Reshit Rabbana B'Shasmai, so they ended up making a big deal about that by rubbing this oil. Okay, so then what did they do to show that someone in Yehuda, to show that someone is not a Betula? Because, I mean, there's all kinds of different things that they do in Yehuda. So we had three things that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So, I mean, obviously, we don't do anything at all. So then that is going to be a very big slap in the face, and it shows that she's not a betula. But if there's only like this thing that you do, you know, this weird thing about oil rubbing. So, I mean, obviously it's not always done. I mean, Papa said, I don't even know what that is. So then, I mean, how would you know that there is such a thing as a simen for an almana? Tani Rav Yosef, Aramalta, less like Isani. That what they do in order to show in Yehuda that there is definitely a armona, because you got a problem here, since it's very often that they just put these kisani out. There's, you know, they dried the shot from guns wheat. So then if that's given out, it's a very easy thing. You know, we talked about before the barrel or the wine, and she said, oh, you were half drunk, you couldn't bring. I mean, I understand those things are something that you have to go out of your way to do. But I mean, to have a dessert or to throw around some popcorn, how would we know really? That's definitely not. So Armalta, less like Kisani, says the Gemara, apparently they actually were extremely makpid not even to do that. That's how Rashi understands it. Okay, it's a little bit backwards from other Meforshim, but we'll go with that. Modi Rabbi Yeshua Ber Melechaverai. So now the last part is finally we get to the Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua, remember the way we understood it, is that even though I don't hold of the Migu, of the other Perek, this is a possibility, I do hold of Pesha Asar Pesha Yeter. And the other way was to understand Rabbi Yeshua as saying there are cases where I made it by Pesha Asar Pesha Yeter to you, Rabbi Gamliel, the same way that Rabbi Gamliel, you were made it to me, which was the proof that actually even Rabbi Gamliel would have been made it in the Resha of the Mishnah. So in any event, we have this interesting case where he says, used to belong to your father, this field. I bought it from him. But, I mean, why do we get involved in this? It belonged to your father and everything. I mean, if the guy, the Iker Nakuda over here is that this person is not suing you. And you just walk over and you bring up an issue. So why didn't we just say a case where somebody goes over and says to a guy, you know, this was the field that used to belong to you, and I bought it from you. Why does he have to get involved with the father? I mean, doesn't that just unnecessarily complicate matters? So wouldn't it have been like just stronger to say that if a person just makes a comment without being a someone who received a summons or there was some kind of tviyah, so then that's a pesha asar pesha yeter? No, first of all, you can't do that, because how would you go and read the end? Explain to me. Remember, the Sefer says that im yesh edim shishalo, if there were witnesses that it was once his, and that would mean his, it was the sons that he had spoken to. Not, you're saying, let's not talk about the father. If then he says, against the edim I bought it, so then he wouldn't be believed. That's what the Mishnah would have to say. I mean, now that's not what the Mishnah says. Obviously, the Mishnah says that they belong to the father. But we're asking, why don't we change the Mishnah, keep it simple, and then the end would have said, if there were Adam that it's his, then he wouldn't be believed. The problem is that is not necessarily the case. I mean, Eichi Dami, we're talking about a field. Remember that a field, if you've been in a field for 3 years, and you have absolutely no proof that you bought the field, you're still believed because of the fact that you ate it Shnei Chazaka, which is based on the idea that if nobody sues you for 3 years when you're in a place and you don't keep the contract more than 3 years, you have a right to say, I didn't keep the contract. Nobody ever said anything. Why didn't you say anything? How come all of a sudden now you're saying something? So that's called a chazaka. And if it was already 3 years, he would be believed. And if he didn't eat a chnei chazaka, I mean, everybody knows that obviously he's not believed to say, if we know that a piece of property belonged to someone, he needs to provide a proof within those 3 years. He needs to have a deed. What are you doing in my property? That's a given. It's only by metaltaling that you have a chazaka on having something in your rishus. But if it's a real estate, it's ridiculous. I don't care if you've been living there for the past 2 years. Get out of my house, says the Gemara, but I don't understand. So you can say the same thing about the father, can't you? So Yochi Gabi Aviv Nami. I understand. Why can't I say that? I could say, how does the end of the Mishnah say that if we have Adam, he's not believed? Why not? If he ate a Chnei Chazaka, so why wouldn't he believe? And if he didn't eat a Chnei Chazaka, then obviously he's not believed. I mean, any child knows that from a million places. So isn't it the same issue? Says the Gemara, it's not the same issue. Because at least in the case of the father, there is a way to understand the Mishnah. And that it would be a chiddush, because mashkachas la, we could say that the closing of the Mishnah is talking about a case kigon she'ochel shtayim b'chayei av. What happened is that over here, the father died 2 years after selling the field. So this new guy who's living in there did eat it for 2 years while the father was alive. But then the next year, it was in front of a child who had inherited it. And of course, did not moche is the word that we use technically for protesting, which would be mechayev the guy to keep the contract for longer than 3 years. So that means that the Mishnah is being mechadish, that even though he has 3 years of chazaka, it's not a kosher chazaka, because we're not going to accept his taina since it was a child that was the one that was going to be supposedly molcha, but that's like Rav Huna. The Omer of Huna, Ein Machzikim Menichsei Katan, you cannot have a chazaka if it's the property of a katan, even if that katan became fully grown, afilu higdil. If you started the chazaka while it was a katan, then he's not expected to know. So he just took it for granted that you're there. So even if you stay there after he grew up, it's not a good chazaka, because the child would never have realized it. This is how Rashi understands it. Others learn that if Lamaisa, the chazaka, is 3 years after the time that he grows up, then actually it is a kosher chazaka. Fine, but the case over here was not that way. So therefore, afilu higdil over here, He wouldn't be able to keep the field. He wouldn't be believed. Mashenkin, if I would have said that what you're saying is a simple case, why don't I simply go and say, I bought the field from you? So then how would have I explained that? How would I be able to say that the Mishnah has a reason for saying that if he there were Adam, then he's not believed? If he had it 3 years, then he is believed. If he didn't have it 3 years, it's obvious. Or maybe, so now the question is, if that is so true, so then what exactly was the point of Rav Huna? Because, I mean, for Rav Huna, you're telling me I have no way of understanding the Mishnah, right? Unless I assume Rav Huna. Because otherwise, we would have to say, why not talk about a simple case? So we said, well, there's a chiddush over here. The chiddush is that in the event that the father died, that then you're not machzik if there was a child. Yes. So then it means I know Rav Huna without Rav Huna, because how else would I understand the Mishnah? So what is Rav Huna coming to teach me? I just figured that out myself, didn't I? I said, I don't understand this Mishnah. And we went back and forth on it, and we figured out that the Mishnah is talking about a case specifically of a father in order to teach me the Chiddush, that you would not have the 2 years plus 1 year in front of the child. It's not a kosher chazaka. So I don't need Rav Huna to tell me how to read a Mishnah, do I? So what's he coming to teach me? Well, I mean, first of all, it took you a little bit of time to figure that out, didn't it? So, I mean, Rav Huna could be coming to teach you how to be Medayek the Mishnah. That's all. Is that so terrible? I mean, it doesn't exactly spell this out in the Mishnah. It leaves it up to you to figure out. Therefore, Ibai Deima Rav Huna Diyukadamat Nitan Kamar. Could be Rav Huna is just trying to get you to understand that this is obviously the facts from the Mishnah. Or Rav Huna in the Mishnah doesn't say what happens if the child grew up. So in the Mishnah, you could learn that he was a child. And it wasn't talking about where he grew up. Rav Huna wanted to make it very clear to you that afilu higdil, that it's not considered to be a chazaka. Okay, I understand, but you could have had a case where you say it to the person himself instead of his father, And instead of his dying, you could have a case where, like, he ran away after 2 years. And because of that, you could tell me the same thing. He had 2 years worth of chazakah, and then tell me that the third year was shelo b'funav, and a chazakah shelo b'funav is not considered to be a chazakah. So, I mean, that would be basically the same idea as the father dying and then leaving it to the child. So, look in a case where he ran away. Why do I need to involve a father? What do you mean he ran away? Why did he run away? I mean, if he ran away because the government was after him and he could have ended up losing his life, so obviously he's not going to be Neman. I mean, there's no way that the guy could be Moche, because if he would be Moche, then they would find out where he was. He's in hiding. So he doesn't say a word. So of course it's not a chazakah. What kind of idiot would think it is a chazakah? Delo matzimache. And if it's talking about that he ran away because he was having financial problems, and he ran away machmas momon, so then he should have been mocha, because the halacha is, micha'a shelo b'fanav avi micha'a. You don't have to go and tell it to the guy's face. You can do a micha'a wherever you are in front of witnesses, and they can send in the fact that this guy was mocha. So then the Tana had no way to teach it. There was nothing to say. The Tanan, shalosh aratzot l'chazaka. I'll show you that we can definitely have a mecha'a shelo b'fanav under normal conditions, because there's three aratzot in Eretz Yisrael b'nogea achazaka: Yehuda, Eiver HaYarden, and the Galil. So if someone was owned a field in Yehuda, and he was in the Galil, so over there, we don't have any raya that it is if someone lives there for 3 years, because how's a guy in Galil going to know that somebody took over his field in Yehuda? So therefore, the person is going to have to watch his contract. And that's the purpose of having these three different, so to speak, areas, countries. So Hayabi Yehuda v'chzik b'Galil. So if the guy who owned it was in Yehuda, somebody took over his field in the Galil, or vice versa. He was in the Galil, somebody took over his field in Yehuda. That's not a chazakah unless he's with him in that same general area. So it has to be within that aratzot, even though it's not the fun of. I mean, these areas are very large. There's dozens of cities in any of these areas. And in order to clarify what was going on, we asked on that Mishnah, Vavinan ba, what exactly does the Tana hold? I mean, if he holds Micha'a shelo b'fanav is a kosher Micha'a, so then what do I care if it's two separate countries? What's the difference between two separate countries or two separate cities? And if he holds Micha'a shelo b'fanav lo avi Micha'a, so even if you're in two different areas within Yehuda, or two different areas within the Galil, what is the meaning of Yehuda v'Galil? And Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal explained that La'omer Kasavaka Mechoshua B'Fanav is a kosher Mechah, and this is the main point that we're bringing this whole thing into. If you want to hold it, is a Mechah, and then the problem is that our Mishnah was talking about B'Sha'at Cheirum Shanu. It's talking about where it was wartime or there were other problems, and it was too dangerous to get mail from one place to another, move from one place to another. And because of that, he can claim, I had no idea that you were there. Well, nobody was traveling. I had no idea that you were in my field. And the person knows this. And because of that, he should have kept his contract. So if you'll say, Maishna Yehuda v'Galil, the Nakat, so then what's meaningful about these two places? If you're telling me it's a Shat Cheirum, so then any two places where there's a Shat Cheirum, that's true. And the only meaning of the Mishnah is that there are places where, in general, we treat it as a Sha'at Cheirum. Because Stam Yehuda v'Galil are Kishat Cheirum Domi. There are so many problems, the travel between Yehuda and the Galil, and that's why we should, unless we know otherwise, it's assumed to be a Sha'at Cheirum. And because of Tafka, in this way, it would be a Mecha that was Shelo B'Fanav that wouldn't be kosher. But normally speaking, it would be kosher, which means that we could not have said that case because, if he ran away because it was dangerous, so then there was no point in the Mecha'a. He's not able to do Mecha'a, and the guy had to keep his contract. If it wasn't dangerous and he's within a place where there are communications and it's not a shat chirum, then in fact he would have been able to keep the field. Therefore, there would be no way for us to end the Mishnah. So we're basically, we are stuck with the one way that we worked it out, which is father, partial chazaka, and the chiddush of partial chazaka, the rest of the chazaka in front of a child, actually doesn't count. That would be the end of our diuk in Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua, sorry. Okay, so now we understand what it is that we're supposed to do in terms of other people's minds and how it is that we respond in cases of midvar sheker tirchak, which is really a very important nekuda, because people take the midvar sheker tirchak in wrong ways. And that's exactly what Beis Hillel was being koveya. That is that dvar sheker tirchak does not apply if it is litzerech shalom, and it doesn't apply according to Beis Hillel if it's not in the context of Naki Vitzadik, Al Taharoik. So that if it's something constructive, that is sufficient to be able to say something that has Tirchak. Remember, he's not saying straight out lies. He's saying over here that you can utilize the other person's psychology to say something that other people would find misleading. He was saying all of this as an answer to Beit Shammai's Taina of Tirchak. That was brought out in the Braisa. That what Beit Shammai said to him was, it doesn't say Misheker Tirchak, it says Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and that's how Beit Hillel was explaining it. But it's the Harchaka and not the outright lie. So the Mishana of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was by leaving out information. Or we even say information which is not really important to the other person or is maybe more respectful, to put it in that way, ultimately. Like claiming you slept in a different place than you slept, or you're learning a different Masechet than you're learning. All of those cases that the Gemara brings up.